Hey, God bless you guys. Good morning. Welcome to mysummit.tv, which is Summit Church's online campus. My name is Chris Young, lead pastor here, and I am so thankful that you're joining us. Hopefully, maybe somebody invited you and told you to check out this church that was online, and you sat down and decided you'd check us out. If so, I can't tell you how happy I am that you've decided to do that. Hopefully, you feel at home, and maybe your kids would even enjoy checking out Summit Kids. There's some videos right here on the website they can check out as well. They'll have a great time. Anyway, I'm beginning a brand new message series today. This is the Christmas season. I love, love, love the Christmas season. Feeling a little frustrated, feeling a little confined and claustrophobic, not able to do my normal Christmas decorating. We've been having some work done at our house, and because of that, we just haven't been able to decorate. So I am feeling ready to get in the Christmas spirit. And I will tell you that it feels like everything, circumstances, life, 2020 is set up to ruin Christmas. It feels very Grinchy this year. And so I started thinking long and hard about what that really meant about the power to ruin something as big as Christmas. I thought, am I really going to let Christmas get ruined this year? And I don't mean just the day. I mean like the spirit, like the attitude, the glow, the magic of Christmas that for me starts like October 31st. Like as soon as like we stop handing out candy, I'm pulling Christmas decorations out. That's, I love to be in this atmosphere and this attitude for a long, long time. And it feels like there's a lot working against that. And I thought, wow, does all this stuff really have the power to steal my Christmas joy, my joy in general? And I thought, well, if this is literally what I thought, if the Grinch wrote the story of Christmas, that's exactly what would happen. And it feels like, as I read scripture about Christmas and the birth of Christ and all that happened, it really does feel like the Grinch wrote this story. And so we are doing a four-part series called The Gospel According to the Grinch. Now, let me begin then with some sacred scripture. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. But I think the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve, hating the Whos, staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm, lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now hanging a Holly Who wreath. And they're hanging their stockings, he snarled with a snare. Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here. Then he growled with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming, I must find some way to keep Christmas from coming. For tomorrow, I know all the Who girls and boys will wake bright and early. They'll rush for their toys. And then, oh, the noise, 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 noise. There's one thing I hate, all the noise, 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 noise. And we're going to stop there because that's a long passage of Grinch scripture. It sort of sets the tone for just the ugliness that can happen, at least in fictional stories about Christmas. And if you'll kind of go back to your childhood and think about all of the Christmas specials you watched growing up, and by the way, kids, listen closely, get close to the screen. I'm about to tell you about the magic of the past. We didn't have DVRs. We didn't have streaming. We didn't have on-demand TV. If you wanted to watch How the Grinch Stole Christmas or Frosty the Snowman or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you had to be sitting in front of your TV at a special time, 8 p.m. or 7 p.m., and then you had to wait through commercials. Commercials are the things they advertise products that help pay for the TV. You don't have to watch those because you can fast forward through all those. But this is how we watched Christmas specials. And all of the Christmas specials had villains, had someone trying to ruin Christmas. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was the abominable snow monster, or if you're really watching closely, it was Comet who ridiculed Rudolph the most and forbade him from participating in any of the reindeer games. And Frosty the Snowman, it was Professor Hinkle, who was, of course, trying to steal the hat. Santa Claus Coming to Town, I love this one. It's Burgermeister Meisterburger, if you remember him. And then It's a Wonderful Life, one of the great classics, it's Mr. Potter. But I really do think the quintessential villain of all Christmas stories has to be the Grinch. And I get it. Like, if you watch The Grinch, the newer movie with Jim Carrey or the original animated one, if you look at the book, he does. He has a change of heart at the end. But I got to be honest with you, I'm not even sure I trust The Grinch even today, because the whole story is about him being so terrible. And then he switches right at the end. And so the shortest part of the story is him being good. And I carry a lot of childhood trauma because of The Grinch and because of all of the Christmas villains, really. And if you'll notice, one thing about all of the Christmas villains is they are outside of us. They're detached from us. They're someone or something that we can look at that's trying to ruin Christmas, that's trying to steal our joy. And make no mistake, many, many Christmases have been ruined for real, and many people have had their joy stolen, not just at Christmas, but throughout their whole year. And all of this insanity that's going on right now, especially in the most recent weeks where it feels like things are slipping back to where they were back in March, and it just doesn't feel like we can do this again. All of the things that are happening around us and all the things that are happening to us, it is taking a heavy toll. I don't say that lightly. I don't disregard how big the impact is on people and what this year has done to people. It's taking a heavy toll on the best of us. And for others, we are struggling with this. And it might be easy for us to actually start assigning blame and pointing the finger and really pointing out the people and the things that are playing the role of the Grinch in all of this. It's kind of easy to do because it feels like some of those people and some of those things are the reason that things are so bad. What's weird is when we start picking out Grinches in our story, we're never the Grinch. We're never the one who's responsible for our Christmas being ruined. We're never the one that ruined Thanksgiving or that ruined our joy, that our joy got stolen by us. We're never the responsible party. It's kind of convenient, isn't it? That there's always a villain and it's never us. It's convenient. It's just not true. You and I have the capacity and capability and the probability, actually, of being the Grinch in our own story. And here's why: because God has created us to be the gatekeepers of our own physical, emotional, and spiritual health. Let me say that again. If there is joy seeping out of your life, if there is joy being lost in your life, if there are moments being ruined in your life, I want you to hear this. God has empowered you and created you to be the gatekeeper of your physical, emotional, and spiritual health. And so it's very possible that the villain in our stories, that the Grinch in our life story, is not a governor, it's not a president, it's not a doctor, it's not the CDC, it's not an event, it's not a pandemic. It might just be us. So let's figure out how to make sure that we are not the Grinch in our own story. I'm in danger of becoming the Grinch in my own life story unless, number one, I protect my heart from shrinking two sizes too small. I'm going to be the Grinch in my own life story unless I protect my heart from being shrinking two sizes too small. So listen, our heart is an amazing thing. And we, of course, know our heart is this muscle that beats involuntarily and it provides life, but it is where we symbolically place all of the biggest, most meaningful things in our life, all that we fear, all that we value, all that we treasure, all that we hate, all that we mourn, maybe all that we regret, all that we dream about, all that we have faith in, all that really matters and all that we value, all that has hurt us the most deeply, it all resides in our heart. But listen, at some point, the biggest and strongest of those things begin to push out and shrink down the size, the capacity of our heart. And what I mean by that is when we begin to feel things and those feelings become bigger than the other things, when that thing that we are feeling the most of, it grows and grows and grows in its strength. And as it grows, the size of our heart shrinks. It doesn't have the capacity to hold all of those things together. All of the things that really matter to us are pushed out by the things that simply are biggest and strongest. You see, Jesus actually talked about how a house that's divided, you see, some religious leader had accused him of being able to cast out demons because he himself was demon-possessed. And he said, well, that doesn't make any sense at all. Because a house divided against itself can't stand. You see, the strongest thing there is going to be the thing that wins. And listen to a way that he illustrated that in Mark 3:27. Who's powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods, rob him of everything? Who can do that to somebody who's big, strong, and capable of taking care of themselves? Only someone who's even stronger, someone who could tie up that strong man and then plunder his house. That is such a huge, huge truth. And sometimes we miss those because they seem so allegorical and they seem so ethereal. Jesus, what are you talking about? Jesus is just saying, who can rob a really strong guy? Somebody who's stronger, who can tie him up and then rob him. Who can rob a guy who's got a gun to protect his house? Somebody who's got bigger and better guns that can overwhelm him and steal from him. And how can something in our heart be pushed out? How can joy, which may be strong, how can faith, which may be big, be overwhelmed? Well, it just simply needs something bigger to come overwhelm us. And listen to Proverbs 29:11. Foolish people let their anger run wild. And I put in brackets right there, their emotions, because couldn't you say the same thing? Foolish people let their sadness run wild. Foolish people let their emotions run wild, but wise people keep themselves under control. In other words, you and I have to be the gatekeepers of how we react to the circumstances around us. Or listen, guess what? Those big, ugly emotions that it's so easy to feel right now because of the circumstances that we're in, those things will begin to rule the kingdom of your heart. They will come in, tie everything else up, shrink the size and the capacity of your heart, and make your heart fit around them. Anger and rage and sadness and depression and alienation and loneliness and meanness, quite honestly. The way I've seen people turn against each other because they've turned over the kingdom of their heart to these ugly emotions. You want to know how to let your heart shrink two sizes too small? Just keep letting your grinchy emotions break into your heart and bind your faith and bind your hope and bind your joy and bind your trust in God's promises and ultimately rob you of that joy. Number two is this. I'm in danger of becoming the Grinch in my own story unless I protect my mind from a sour, grinchy attitude. I protect my mind from a sour, grinchy attitude. So here's a saying you should keep in mind. A grinchy heart leads to a grinchy attitude. Because listen, we don't have to react to every emotion. We don't have to give permission to every emotion to become a thought and that thought to become an attitude, because that's really how it works. Is sometimes we feel an emotion, and if we have a strong enough faith or we have a strong enough pushback, then we can sort of bring that emotion into a headlock and make it sort of submit. But there are other times that if we just let our emotions run wild and we let our reactions run wild and we have grinchy reactions to everything, then guess what? You're going to walk around with a grinchy attitude. If we aren't protecting our hearts by protecting our emotional health and strength, we're not staying in control of our emotions, we're going to become used to anger and doubt and fear and sadness and confusion just hanging out in the house, right? I remember growing up, and I would have my friends over at our house a lot, and there were some friends that were there so often that it wasn't unusual for my parents to see them stay the night, for them to get up and be at the breakfast table even if I wasn't there. And there was friends I had, a friend of mine named David Hurt, and I was there so often, his parents just assumed that I would be there. Listen, that's great when those are friendly people, right? If you have friendly people who are invited into your life, but what if that was someone who was unwelcome in your home? You don't want that person to feel comfortable just staying there. And you and I can allow our attitudes to give permission to these grinchy reactions, these grinchy emotions, for them to become used to hanging out and staying there. We don't want them to have the right to stay there, because the more comfortable those feelings become, the more we believe those feelings have the right. Because listen, when somebody outside of us does something, we feel justified. We feel it's our right to have this attitude towards them. We feel it's right to be angry. We feel it's right to be fearful. We feel like it's our right to act the way we're acting and to have the attitude that we're acting. Here's the bigger problem with that. Not only do we let that contaminate us, we start infecting people around us. You ever been around a Grinch? You ever been around somebody who's joyless, who's filled with anger, who's filled with rage? It is not that hard to let them infect you. You start feeling gross and icky, and you start feeling angry yourself, and you start feeling things that you weren't feeling before, all because they sort of infected you. But listen, this is what 1 Peter 1:13 through 14 says. We have to be intentional, purposeful, strategic in our pushback against all of that. So prepare your minds for service. That means you have to literally get into your attitude and push out everything that's there that doesn't need to be there with complete self-control. Remember the last scripture I read talking about self-control. So prepare your minds for service with complete self-control. Put all your hope, not in a vaccine, not in a governor, not in a president, not in politics, not in news, not in social media. Put all your hope in the grace that will be yours when Jesus Christ comes. Put your hope and trust and faith in Jesus Christ and His promises. In the past, you did not have the understanding you have now. So you did the evil things you wanted to do. You did whatever you felt like doing, but now you are the children of God, so you should obey Him and not live the way you did before. Do you want to hear what that just said? Here's the gospel according to the Grinch. If you want to have a grinchy attitude, that is how people without Jesus indulge their emotions. So people who aren't followers of Christ do whatever their emotions tell them to do. But a follower of Christ says, I am now under the control of the Holy Spirit, not under the control of my emotions. So I will submit and obey the Spirit of Christ in me and not all of these things that are trying to infect me and destroy the joy in my life. Listen, here's how you push out the bully that's in your heart and in your mind. Let the peace, this is Colossians 3:15 through 17, let the peace that Christ gives it as a gift to us. We don't have to stir it. We don't have to buy it. We don't have to earn it. Let the peace that Christ gives control your thinking, because we're still in permission. We give permission. We're in control. We allow that to happen or we don't allow it to happen. Give permission for the peace that Christ gives, control your thinking, because you were all created together in one body to have peace. You are created by God to live in peace. So let Christ rule in peace in your life. Always be thankful. Let the teaching of Christ live in you richly. Use all wisdom. Wisdom overcomes what? Emotion. Use all wisdom to teach and instruct each other by singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with thanksgiving or thankfulness in your hearts to God. Everything you do or say should be done to obey Jesus, your Lord. And in all you do, give thanks to God the Father through Jesus. Do you want to know how to build not only yourself, but those around you? Teach each other how to live in peace and how to live in gratitude and how to live in thanksgiving. Don't teach each other how to walk around in these grinchy, angry. I'm seeing so much of it. And the heartbreaking part is I'm seeing so much of it in the body of Christ. It's not right. It is not the Spirit of God. It's not the will of God that you and I join hands with an angry world, join hands with a scared world, join hands with a frustrated and hopeless world, but that you and I walk in the promises of Christ. God is not surprised by, set off by, disrupted by, frustrated by the circumstances that we're in. He's at peace. The question is, why aren't you and I living in peace as well? We've got to change our attitude. And third and finally is this, I'm in danger of becoming the Grinch. You guys still hanging with me? I hope you are. I'm in danger of becoming the Grinch in my own story unless, number three, I protect myself from becoming the Grinchiest of all Grinches. I protect myself. Isn't this super, super spiritual? Aren't you glad you joined today? So listen, the Apostle Paul, talk about him a lot, a man who has set the tone for Christianity, who set the foundation for Christianity following after the ministry of Christ. The Apostle Paul primarily pastored people, churches, that were primarily made up of Jews that had converted to Christianity, became Christ followers. They accepted Jesus as the promised Messiah of Jewish Scripture. Okay, so if you want to look at Jewish Scripture, that's the Old Testament. And then the New Testament is New Testament Scripture. It's Christianity's Scripture, right? So Paul pastored primarily Jews. Now, here is the challenge in pastoring primarily those who were Jewish who had converted to Christianity. There were a lot of laws, very rigid practices within Judaism that Jews were required to follow in order to maintain righteousness and right standing and not be in violation of the law, right? Well, when they became Christians, they had a hard time not separating the rigidness of the law from their freedom in Christ. They felt still bound by the law, and so they would try to impose that on each other, including Gentiles, those who were not Jewish, even those who were pagan, those who were godless altogether, those who were idol worshipers, those who were really terrible people who had become Christians. They were trying to impose rigid Jewish laws on them. And Paul had to get in and kind of tell them, you're not really allowed to do that. There was a lot of confusion. Okay? So here's where it gets messy. Paul would say, listen, that's fine, but you have to let the law of Christ supersede the law of Moses. You can't continue to impose the law of Moses on people. And so there was a lot of infighting within the church. So that brings us to this scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:31 through 33. So eat and drink and do everything else. Everything you do, including eating and drinking, do it for the glory of God. So that sets a pretty high standard that whether we're studying, whether we're out with friends to dinner, no matter what our thing is that we're doing, do it to glorify God in your life. You have freedom and do it for the glory of God, not to practice religion and religious law, but do it to enhance and grow your relationship with Christ. Don't do anything that causes, so he starts out with a sentence, do everything that you want to do, do it for the glory of God, pause. Don't do anything that causes another person to trip and fall. It doesn't matter if that person is a Jew or a Greek or a member of God's church. It'll say Christianity in other translations, so that's what it means. Follow my example. I try to please everyone in every way. I'm not looking out for what is good for me. I'm looking out for the interests of others. I do it so that they might be saved. Paul was making it abundantly clear that you're allowed to do, as in your freedom in Christ, you can do anything you want. You don't have to be bound by the former diet. You see, the diet, food, was a huge Jewish issue. You couldn't eat particular foods because they were considered unclean. And then there was a practice in which people who were not Jewish would offer up food to sacrifice it as a sacrifice to an idol, and then they would eat that food at dinner. And there were Christians who were participating in that and some getting very upset about that. And he said, listen, you can eat that, do it for the glory of God. But if that causes someone else around you who's with you and they have different convictions about that and they feel very strongly you shouldn't do that, then Do you have to just be antagonistic? Can you skip on that? Can you wait and eat something else later? In other words, Paul was very intentional that it's really not about those things. It's about caring for each other and how our attitudes and how the way we treat each other affects the people around us. The goal's not to shove our convictions and our opinions down other people's throat and demand our rights as a person of faith, but rather to demonstrate patience and grace and kindness and mercy and tenderness to people the same way Jesus demonstrates that to us. Let me say that in a way that I think will help you and I connect. And then I'm going to read one last scripture and then we'll be done. I hear Christians who are confusing their rights as a citizen of America, of the U.S., with their rights as a follower of Christ. Really, in Scripture, you and I surrender our rights to virtually everything. We make ourselves a slave to the obedience of Scripture, to the Spirit of God. We say, I surrender all other things. I am a citizen of heaven first. I'm a follower of Christ first. I pledge my allegiance to Him and Him above all things first. And so this is where my law comes from. This is where my convictions come from. And I got to tell you, it stands in complete contradiction to the way a lot of believers are acting right now. The rights that they're demanding and the things that they're trying to push on to other people, and they're using the name of Christ to do that, and it's completely inappropriate. Paul said, you and I need to be worried about how we are affecting each other's relationship with Christ and how we're growing the health of our relationship with Christ. Listen to Galatians 5:13 through 15. You see, because I want you to hear this, the Grinchiest of Grinches is the person that cares about themselves first and then cares about themselves most. And everybody else can fend for themselves. I don't care if this bothers you. I don't care if this offends you. I don't care if this gets under your skin. I don't care if you don't like it. That is simply not the spirit or the behavior of a follower of Christ. Galatians 5:13 through 15. It's absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. You're free from being bound by religious law. Just make sure you don't use that freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and ultimately destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence: love others as you love yourself. Paul said, this is the law above all the other laws. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? He says it simply that you and I aren't freed from the contaminants, from the toxicity, from the consequences of sin, to then turn around and act sinfully towards each other, to act like we would if we didn't know Christ. Don't use your freedom from all of the things that we are free from to then use it as a tool to abuse others. That's not gratitude, and that's not truly freedom. And he said, the way you're doing it, you're destroying one another. You're hurting one another. And I just want to ask you, in your story, where's your joy going? Who's stealing it? Because nobody can do that in your life. Nothing stronger than what you allow to be stronger. If joy and faith and hope and trust in Christ is the strongest thing in your life, then it can withstand the intruders that come in and try and bind it up. Who can bind up a strong man? Only someone stronger. Who's the Grinch in your life? Well, I don't know. Have you made a politician the Grinch of your life? Have you made a circumstance? Have you made a pandemic? Have you made a loss of freedom? Have you made any of those things the Grinch in your life? Because I want to tell you, if so, then you've given permission for that Grinch to be bigger than the joy, than the hope, than the trust you have, than the faith that you have in your heart for God's promises, who God is and how good He is and who you are in relation to Him. You are a child of God. And I want to tell you something. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There is no Grinch big enough to steal my joy unless I'm the Grinch. No Grinch big enough to steal your joy unless it's you. Hey, be back here next week because I'm going to start going through some of the Christmas story and really look at it in a way, maybe through the Grinch's eyes, if he was writing the story, which it kind of feels like he did in a lot of ways, and just see the way that the people that are a part of this story responded to the circumstances around them and how you and I can walk away better because of knowing their story. I'm praying for you guys. Be watching for emails because obviously as circumstances change throughout the week, we have to pivot and accommodate all of that. But listen, we're not going to let anyone steal our joy. We're not going to let anyone rob us of Christmas. We're going to push forward and we're going to be the body of Christ. We're going to be believers and followers of Christ. We're going to honor him in all of this. And I'm proud of you guys. I love you. We'll see you next week. God bless you guys.